Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 17.
Members of the House, session will begin at 2:30. 2:30. House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Garrison. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Garrison.
Father God, Thou who art creator of heaven and earth, Thou who art all wise, Thou who art all merciful, Thou who has all power in Thine hands. Father God, we beseech Thy throne of grace to thank Thee for the many, many blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to serve in this governing body of the state of North Carolina with the task assigned to craft legislation for the protection, well-being, and welfare of the citizens and your people of this state. Father God, we ask that Thou will give us a will and a desire to love you and to love our fellow man, such that we will draft legislation that is fair, that is just, that is right, and that is pleasing in Thy sight. Father God, we ask that we be ever so mindful that we should keep all of your commandments, and not just merely one or a fraction thereof, and claim victory. For even 99.5 of keeping your commandments won't do. We must keep all 100 to enter into your kingdom. So, Master, when it is your time to call, and our time to answer, we ask that we may be found worthy to enter into your kingdom of riches and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 23rd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for February 23rd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House or the General Assembly, the clerk will read.
North Carolina Military Affairs Commission, a resolution to support the legislation to exempt military retirement pay from state taxation. Adopted this 16th day of February 2021, North Carolina Military Affairs Commission, signed Greer Martin, Chairman.
Noted. Members, changed to a committee assignment. Representative Bradford is appointed as a member to the Committee on Commerce. Representative Moffitt's recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Moffitt, Alcoholic Beverage Control Committee report. House Bill 73, temporarily waived ABC permit renewal fees, favorable and re-referred to finance.
Bill is re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Members, on motion of Representatives Kidwell, Beaufort, and Tyson of Craven, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to representatives from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. Joining with us today are Rainer James, Rick Hopkins, and Hal James. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thank you so much. A number of other folks who are with them. Thanks for being with us today. And I can personally attest, Mr. James knows where some of the best seafood is in the world, so good to see you. Members, House Bill 121, short title of this bill is to clarify the EQIP funding requirements. Chair is going to withdraw that from the Committee on Environment. Mr. Clerk, that bill is going to be referred to the Committee on Agriculture. Introduction of the bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Hurley and Sauls, House Bill 126, Community College System Salary Increases.
Appropriations and Favorable Rules.
Representatives Lambert, Zinger, Amber Baker, and Zachary, House Bill 127, Wake Forest Baptist Health Regional Autopsy Center Funds.
Appropriations and Favorable Rules.
Representatives Kyle Hall, Elmore, Destin Hall, and Willis, House Bill 128, Increase Access to Sporting Venues in Schools.
Education K-12, Favorable Rules.
Representatives Kyle Hall, Lambert, Carter, and Stevens, House Bill 129, Access to Sports School, Certain Counties.
Education K-12, If Favorable Local Government, If Favorable Rules.
Representatives White, McElrath, and Strickland, House Bill 130, East Coast Greenway State Trails.
Agriculture, if favorable rules.
Representatives Lambert, Amber Baker, Zinger, and Zachary, House Bill 131, Stevens Center Funds, UNC School of the Arts.
Appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 132, Juvenile Code Revision, Court Improvement Program Recommendations.
Judiciary 2, if favorable rules.
Representatives Hollister, Bowles, Hannig, and Hunter, House Bill 133, Create NC Golf Council.
Commerce, if favorable rules.
Representatives McNeely, Sane, Adams, and Carter, House Bill 134, Second Amendment Protection Act.
Judiciary 4, if favorable rules.
Representatives Howard, Warren, Moffitt, and Setzer, House Bill 135, Marketing Association for Rehabilitation and Centers.
Appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Howard, Elmore, Setzer, Dixon, House Bill 136, Encourage Healthy Foods in NC Schools.
Education K-12, if favorable agriculture, if favorable rules.
Representatives Dixon, Brisson, Bell, and Elmore, House Bill 137, Steve Troxler, Agriculture Sciences Center.
Agriculture, if favorable rules.
Representative Willis, House Bill 138, Adopt Wounded Heroes Day.
State Government of Favorable Rules.
Representative Brody, House Bill 139, Soil Scientists on State Wastewater Certification Board.
Local Government Committee on Land Use Planning and Development of Favorable Rules.
Representative Robertson, House Bill 140, Zebulon Board Appoint Town Clerk.
Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representative Hannig, Sasser, Brody, and Green, House Bill 141, Remote North Carolina Sawmills.
Regulatory reform, if favorable, Judiciary 1, if favorable, rules. Members, on the calendar today, the first bill we'll take up is House Bill 78, then the second bill will be House Bill 82, then we'll come back to House Bill 79 as the third bill on today's calendar. Calendar, House Bill 78. Clerk will read.
Representatives Blackwell, Clemens, Elmore, and Hurley, House Bill 78, a bill to the Entitlement Act to require annual reporting of participation in computer science courses and courses of study. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is one of two bills that were recommended by the Joint Education Oversight Committee. In 2017, the legislature took action to promote computer science instruction in our schools along with computational thinking skills. This legislation would ask DPI to work with others in assembling information that would tell us at a more granular basis, that is at the school level, how many classes are being conducted in which of these courses, how many students are participating, so that we could have an idea both of the success across the state, but also the information that would allow us to judge whether we've got pockets of success and other areas which are not getting it at all. I know of no opposition to the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 78 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Hardister, is the gentleman ready? Is the majority whip, is the gentleman ready to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. The following members vote aye. Representatives Bell, Brendan Jones, Stevens, and Soka.
Is Representative Warren on the floor? Yeah. Representative Reeves, are you ready on the Democratic side?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
The House Minority Leader, Representative Reeves, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
And the following members have designated that they would like me to enter votes of aye for them. Representative Alexander, Representative Autry, Representative Belt, Representative Brockman, Representative Carney, Representative Cunningham, Representative Everett, Representative Fisher, Representative Gilliard, Representative Ensco, Representative Lucas, Representative Richardson, and Representative Terry.
Clerk will like machine record the vote. 120 having voted the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 78 passes second reading. We'll be right at their time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 78 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 78 having passed its third reading's order sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 79, the clerk will read. We're going to go ahead and resolve that one. I think these bills have gone much quicker than the chair believed they would. Clerk will read.
Representatives Blackwell, Clements, Elmore, and Hurley, House Bill 79, a bill to the Entitlement Act required a State Board of Education to maintain a digital learning dashboard update annually by public school units and to require recommendations to the Joint Legislative Education Oversight Committee based on the information and student digital learning access during COVID-19. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the second of the two bills recommended by the Joint Education Oversight Committee. This bill would have the Department of Public Education and Public Instruction and the State Board of Education to establish and maintain a publicly available digital learning dashboard. The purpose of this would be to let us know and the public know the types and numbers of devices in the schools by school that students have access to use in their digital learning programming. It would also ask them to identify devices that students are understood to have access to away from the classroom, such as at home. And thirdly, the extent to which students report that they have acceptable access to internet. I would ask the House to approve this bill. I know of no opposition.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 79 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. That Hunter, Hunter, aye, Mr. Clerk. Representative Hardister, is the gentleman ready on the majority side, the proxy votes?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hardister is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. The following members vote aye. Representatives Bell, Brendan Jones, Stevens, and Soka.
Gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members have given me permission to enter votes of aye for them, and that is Representatives Alexander, Representative Autry, Representative Belt, Representative Brockman, Representative Carney, Representative Cunningham, Representative Everett, Representative Fisher, Representative Gilliard, Representative Insko, Representative Lucas, Representative Richardson, and Representative Terry.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 120 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 79 passes its second reading and is ordered sent to the Senate by, I'll strike that, has passed its second reading, will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 79 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 79, having passed its third reading, will now be ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 82, clerk will read.
Representatives Moore, L. Moore, Torbett, and Zinger, House Bill 82, a bill to be entitled an act to establish school extension learning recovery and enrichment programs in each local school administrative unit to mitigate the impact of COVID-19 on at-risk students to require the implementation of innovative benchmark assessments. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, is recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
President Blackwell moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 30 through 31, by inserting the following between those lines.
Gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, you're recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is offered as a friendly amendment, and I understand that Representative Elmore and the sponsors of the bill are good with it. It's just to add the residential schools, which includes the Eastern School for the Deaf in Wilson, the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, and the North Carolina School for the Deaf in Morganton, to the listing in the bill who would offer this summer program. I don't believe there's any opposition. I'd ask the House endorsement of the amendment.
Is there further discussion or debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment 1. All those in favor will signify by voting aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardis, is recognized to send forth the proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. The following members vote aye. Representatives Bell, Brendan Jones, Stevens, and Soka.
Representative Reeves, you're recognized to send forth the proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members enter votes of aye. Representatives Alexander, Representative Autry, Representative Belt, Representative Brockman, Representative Carney, Representative Cunningham, Representative Everett, Representative Fisher, Representative Gilliard, Representative Insko, Representative Lucas, Representative Richardson, and Representative Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Amendment 1 passes. We're back on the bill. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to debate the bill.
Gentlemen, to recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you. Members, standing here in support of this bill today, which very proud that we have gotten this here pretty quickly, but also in a very substantive manner. We had 120-0 vote earlier. I certainly hope that this bill passes by the same margin today. We all know right now the crisis that so many of our young people are dealing with by being out of school. For the most part, kids have been out of school for roughly a year if you look at the full-time schedule. And it may be the best computer, it may be the nicest computer that Jason Sane or somebody has up there with the fastest internet that Representative Gillespie installed somewhere. But I don't care. Those students are not getting as good of a quality education sitting in front of a computer as they are with that in-person class instruction that they would be getting in a classroom. So what we know is that we need to find a way to let those children get caught up. There are so many studies that show that if a child cannot read by the time they're in the third grade, their likelihood and ability to succeed later on is significantly limited. We came up with this idea, and I want to give credit to the person who mentioned it to me, Don Martin, who is the retired superintendent there in Forsyth County. We had a meeting over one day, going through some ideas of things that we could do to try to, we kicked a number of things around to try to find ways to get kids back in school and to find a way to make up for this lost time that children had. And so starting from that conversation, then from a few other conversations with superintendents, with parents, with you all in this room, with others, we realized that this was probably the best thing to do to allow these children to get caught up over these summer months, to come in with a very robust plan. This bill today basically is a six-week program that would allow children to attend school in person over the summer months. It's fully funded. That's provided in the bill. We've sent down already $1.2 billion. There's another $120 million there. And it'll be, while mandatory for the district, is optional for the parents. Let's say that a parent does not want or believe their child should go to summer school. Well, they don't have to send that child to summer school. But there are a lot of children who really need it. And if you look really a lot, there's a lot of those at-risk children who desperately need this, who, if we don't do this, are going to fall further and further behind. If everyone thinks about their own educational experience, you know that every year is a building block to the next level. And for these kids at those young ages, those elementary school students who have missed a lot of valuable in-classroom time, we can't just act like this last year didn't happen. We have to find a way to get them caught up. And this I think, is a great idea. In fact, Congress, when they passed the Appropriation Act, even included in there as one of the authorized purposes was for a summer program to be able to allow these children to get caught up for the mixed time, missed time they had this year for the school year. I know this has good bipartisan support. We should be proud to continue building on the success that North Carolina has when it comes to education in this state. This is an excellent opportunity to make sure that these children who've missed time in school be able to get that time caught up. Of course, we've already passed the bill last week to get children back in school. And I think that this is one of those bills, though, that we all can agree on needs to happen, and I would urge every one of your support today. Thank you.
Members, the chair failed to vote on the amendment. The chair, without objection, will be recorded as voting aye on the amendment. Hearing no objection, so recorded. What purpose does the gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
This bill, moving through the committee process, it's very much been, I think, from the start to what you've got in front of you, much improved in a bipartisan way with the input from the committees, K-12, and also through the Pensions Committee. I will go over some of the specifics in the bill and be available for any questions that you have. The program requirements is 150 or 30 days over the course of the program. Our goal with the structure is to create enough local flexibility that they can create an innovative program that the student would be interested in coming to. So we made sure that we not only have the remediation in reading and math and science, but also that there would be enrichment built in, also physical activity built in, so we can encourage these kids to come to try to tackle the learning loss component. We've created quite a bit of flexibility for the locals dealing with transportation issues so we can make sure that the kids get there. Also in their plan, this was excellent input out of K-12, that they build in their plan individual and small group instruction for our at-risk students and also their social-emotional needs. We also created some flexibility for them on hiring. This was something that we did in the first COVID bill, that we allow them to hire retired teachers if they're available, if their teacher has been retired only a month. That's normal. Then that is different than the normal procedure, so that will open up another pool of employees for them, and also created flexibility with their contracts that they can develop for the teachers to encourage them to work in this program. We also want to know if it works, so we have a section dealing with short assessments to see the growth that occurs through the program. So I think it's a good balance of a structure, but at the same time giving flexibility where our kids across North Carolina can have this opportunity, and I would urge your support of the bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise?
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Members recognized.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, you stated something last week when we were talking about another bill, but the same rings true for this bill, is that the responsibility for education rests with us. Rests with no other organization or group. It rests right here with us. And the Speaker was spot on when he mentioned we were looking for this. Several ideas and concepts were kicked around, but the summer school, the full-blown old school way of summer school was being addressed. We thought that was going to be the best. And one thing I like about it most is that it's scalable. This bill is a one-shot bill for this summer, but it may or it could easily be added in for next summer as well. And the two things that's probably very important about this is that we need to have some type of assessment at the beginning to determine if a child needs this or not. That was created and built in for this. And then, most importantly, at least from my perspective, is that we need to have an outcome. We need to have a report at the end of this process to make sure that it met the goals that we had. And if it didn't, then we can address shortcomings should we need to implement at a later date. So with everything in the middle, which the Speaker and Representative Elmore spoke about so heartfelt, is that we also had the assessment to adequately determine where that student is, and then we had the report to adequately determine where that student got to. So I appreciate a vote for the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 82 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Not really. Representative Hardister, you're recognized to send forth proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. The following members vote aye. Representatives Bell, Brendan Jones, Stevens, and Soka.
Representative Reeves, you're recognized to send forth proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And all the proxy votes that have been sent in will be voting aye. Those will be Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Gilliard, Insko, Lucas, Richardson, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 120 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative, House Bill 82 passes its second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 82 on its third reading. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 82 passes its third reading and will be engrossed and sent to the Senate by special messenger.
That's the way all the bills ought to pass this year, right? For what purpose, the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I have a moment of personal privilege, if I could.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
It's my honor and privilege to share this about Miss Catherine Lanier for her family and friends. Miss Catherine Lanier was born in Maysville in 1926. She moved to a community, Maple Hill in Pender County, where she married her husband, Benjamin, in 1943, before he was shipped off to Okinawa. Catherine quickly became a staple of the Maple Hill community. She was very involved in her local church and was a leader in the youth ministry there. In 1975, she attended Shaw University, where she received her teaching degree. After graduating, she was instrumental in starting the Head Start program in the Maple Hill community, which is a very rural community. Her work there through Head Start provided educational opportunities for children that otherwise would not have had that. For many years, her former students would stop by and say they had become lawyers or successful businessmen and women and tell stories of their success. She was very involved in the African American community with Head Start, and her work there meant tremendous things to those children. Catherine passed away peacefully last week at the age of 94. Her legacy throughout the community will not be forgotten by many of those children and her family and friends. It's my honor to share this with you all today. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
To be recorded voting aye on the amendment for House Bill 82.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the amendment to House Bill 82. For what purpose does the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
Mr. Speaker, to ask you a question about the previous bill that we passed.
The gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't get a chance to read that bill, but if a child does not pass that grade, is there anything in there to help that child to be promoted? I didn't read the bill. I'm sorry. So
thank you.
While
normally we don't debate a bill, I will answer the question. There just is an inquiry to the chair. The effect of that bill is right now, really, the principals have the biggest say on whether a child advances or not. The intent of that bill was to give this option so that child could get up to grade level and not be held back. Yes, sir. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Some of you probably never had a chance to hear me talk about my grandchildren. If you have, you know I am a proud, proud grandfather of seven. The oldest one, I want to brag on her a little bit today. Her name is Maureen Campbell. And she lives down in South Carolina now because her daddy pastors a church down there in Donald, South Carolina. When they were in Virginia, she was very active in the FFA, won first prize for raising a sheep. And she'd been heard about before she got to South Carolina, and the FFA people there were tickled to death to get her. Well, as you might guess, she's very interested in veterinary work. And she was informed the other day, she hasn't made a decision whether she'll go yet or not, but she was informed the other day that she has been accepted to Clemson University for their veterinary program with opportunity for some really good scholarships. She's a 4.0 student, which means she's more kin to her grandmother than she is to me. But I'm just so proud of her, and she's got a big decision to make. But I'd appreciate prayer for wisdom for that decision. Thank you.
Members, the chair did want to inform the body about the passing of Representative Brendan Jones' father. Mr. Farrell Jones passed away yesterday in Columbus County. So please remember Representative Jones and his family in your thoughts and prayers during these times. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Members, 101 years ago today, February 24th, 1920, someone very special in my life, my mother was born. And I was with her last week. She had a minor stroke. But she's been a registered Republican for 80 years. And I... But... Thank you. Thank you. I just want you to know that her next century, I'm working on her changing her affiliation. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Yesterday was my son's 25th birthday. I think we all remember that the 25th birthday is an important date for us. But unfortunately, yesterday morning he tested positive for COVID, and he said he can't taste a thing. But that's not the biggest issue that's on his mind. My son's a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force, and he's stationed at Columbus Air Force Base in Mississippi. And Friday afternoon, he lost two of his colleagues in a crash near Montgomery, Alabama. And this is really, it hasn't been, not much has been made about this on the news, but it's really hit them very hard. The instructor pilot was only 24 years old. And it's a big hit for him. It's the first time in his life that he has lost somebody that close to him. And these were outstanding young men. So keep my son in your prayers. It was a big day for him. He'll get over the COVID, and he'll never get over the memory of losing his two colleagues.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
The House Education Universities Committee will meet tomorrow at 11 a.m. in room 643. We will receive an update from the independent colleges and universities. No votes to be taken. Hope to see you there.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, the House Regulatory Reform Committee will have its first meeting tomorrow at 11 a.m., 1228. If you can't be there in person, you're certainly welcome to join us by WebEx. So see you there.
For what purpose does the lady from Johnston, Representative White, rise?
I think it's an announcement, but it may be a notice. I'll let you call that.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. Representative Reeves and I would like to announce the reauthorization of the Life Science Caucus by Speaker Moore and invite all of you to join us as we address the bipartisan work of the Life Science Center sector. Our mission is the House and Senate shall establish a joint legislative Life Science Caucus to meet regularly, discuss state policy, and invite local and national speakers from industry, patient advocacy groups, and academic research institutions to share views and discuss policies that lead to further economic growth, job creation, and innovation in North Carolina. The caucus will act as a legislative think tank to develop knowledge of life science issues and recommend new opportunities related to life science in the state. Our focus is pharmaceutical, biotechnology, biological, medical device, diagnostic, academic, clinical research, agriculture, biotech, and digital health. We would appreciate your joining the caucus, and it is a wonderful caucus, the most fun ever. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, rise?
An announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
The Capital Appropriations Committee will meet March 2nd at 8:30 a.m. and 6:43, and we'll have a presentation by the Office of State Budget and Management to present the state's new debt affordability study. Thank you, sir.
For what purpose does the lady from Davie? Representative Howard Rice.
To make an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will meet in 6:43 at 8:30 a.m., and we do have two bills that we will be taking a vote on. Thank you.
For what purpose is the lady from Randolph? Representative Hurley Rice.
For an announcement, thank
lady
you.
Lady has the floor.
Well, the Education, Joint Education Committee, Appropriations Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 and 10:27. Hope to see you there.
What purpose does the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise?
To make an announcement, Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
House Transportation Appropriations will meet tomorrow morning at 12:28 at 8:30, if you can be there.
What purpose, gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
The Joint House Health Senate Chairs will meet in the morning in room 421 at 8:30 a.m.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As most of you know, we're working on another COVID bill. It's taken us a little bit of time to get to this point. We still got some work to do over the next few days, but it's our intent to file that bill on Monday and then have a full appropriations meeting Tuesday afternoon, early afternoon. So just hold the afternoon. We're not quite sure yet of the time. It will likely be around 2, 3 on Tuesday. In our usual 6:43 meeting room. But we'll send out a notice once we have that firmed up. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Moore? Representative Bowles Rice.
To join in on the announcements.
Gentlemen has the floor.
Joint Appropriations of Justice Public Safety in the morning at 8:30, room 415.
Any further notices or announcements? It does appear to the chair that we that there will not be any recorded votes tomorrow. We have taken care of the bills that came through the Education Committee and Rules Committees today. Conferred with the Rules Chairman. I don't believe there's anything in the queue presently. And so, but I would encourage members to participate in your committees. Of course, the committees have been authorized to meet through the via the WebEx format or the other remote formats as well. So, would encourage members to make sure you're attending those. The budget process will be really getting underway more in earnest here in the coming days. I know the appropriations chairs have been working quite hard. We'll also advise the body that there is work right now going on among the appropriations chairs in the House and in the Senate to come up with the next piece of legislation to deal with the appropriation of the CARES Act funding. And I believe Representative Sain or Representative Lambeth or Representative Arp can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe next week is what we're looking at to see that bill moving on the floor. So what I can tell you is there's been a very, very strong effort, very good communication. It looks like that's coming together quite well to make sure we get those additional CARES Act funds out to where those monies need to go. So we will certainly be having a number of recorded votes next week. Without any further notices or announcements, clerk have anything? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 25th at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Eiler, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 25th at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Representative Rogers and Zachary are recognized to send forth the Judiciary 3 Committee Report. The clerk will read.
Representative Rogers and Zachary, Judiciary 3 Committee Report. House Bill 49, Concealed Carry Permit Lapse, Revised Law, favorable and re-referred to Rules Calendar Operations of the House.
House Bill 49 being favorable, referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar Operations of the House.
House Bill 27, In-Service Training Magistrates, favorable. Committee substitute unfavorable original bill and refer to Rules Calendar and Operations of the House.
House Bill 27, the original bill be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 27 be referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 48, Concealed Carry Emergency Medical Personnel. Favorable committee substitute and favorable original bill to be referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 48, original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 48, referred to the committee on rules.